Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots across the fruited plains, outside the wire and occupied territory. Be encouraged. You're not alone. We are with you right here, and thank you for tuning in. For those of you inside the free zones in the American Redoubt, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and the eastern portions of Washington and Oregon. Of course, eastern Washington, formerly known as Washington, now Liberty State. The State of Liberty. It's pretty exciting watching all that unfold. And I hope you guys had a blessed week this week. For those of you who are able to attend several events going on in the name of staying aware, being watchmen on the wall, and for standing firm for your heritage and, well, everything that we stand for that's under attack. Thank you guys for doing your part. Thank you for your prayers and your support for Radio Free Redoubt as well. Okay, now speaking of Liberty State, remember you can get your flag by going to libertystate.org, and they just mailed off dozens of flags from recent presentations on Liberty State that have taken place. They've put in their orders, and Liberty State flags are flying all across what used to be Eastern Washington. So that's very exciting. And hey, when you see a Liberty State flag, take a picture of it. Send it in. You can send it in using the contact form to email in at libertystate.org. And if you just send them straight to me, johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com, I will make sure that those get forwarded on to the good folks over there administrating the website. Okay. Let's see. What do we want to? Okay. Now, I subscribe to the Oath Keepers newsletter that they put out occasionally, and David Kodria, he is a great writer, and he writes periodically for the Oath Keepers, and what's in the news cycle right now, of course, is this large caravan of migrants that are on their way with the help of a foreign government, Mexico, who is aiding and abetting these aspiring illegal immigrants. It's really no less than an invasion, if you will, but they're stacked up now, apparently, on our southern border. And this is a good article here. I want to share some of this with you. Somos Resistencia, just what we need, foreign nationals who say they're dissatisfied with their culture to come here and resist ours. The world has seen the raised fist before. Excuse me. Pollen in the air. The world has seen the raised fist before, and it's never stood for American freedom. That's from somebody's Pueblos Sin Fronteras Facebook page. Isn't that the truth? They're coming here to get away from this horrible failed state that they're leaving, to come here to protest and resist the American system and the American government and the American people, really. And we're going to talk about that. I'm going to take you a little flashback back to something I've covered in the past and bring it back forward for you. But let me go on here with this article. Migrant caravan at the U.S.-Mexico border prepares for mass crossing. And that was the title from a headline that ran in Reuters this week. Now, I don't know how they plan to, like, as if we don't have a military, as if we don't have a border and border guards with the Trump administration who's willing to stand solidly across the border and secure it. But they're claiming that they're going to do it. They fully intend to break our laws. They've announced it. They've also taken action toward carrying that out. Hundreds of Central American immigrants from a caravan that crossed Mexico reunited in Tijuana on this last Wednesday and plan to cross the border together this weekend in defiance of threats by U.S. President Donald Trump to repel them. In defiance against the U.S. President Donald Trump, but really what it is just defiance against – in defiance of Donald Trump in their minds. If allowed to happen, the criminal invasion, and ultimately that's what it is, will be a direct result of a chain of circumstances aided and abetted by the Mexican government in violation of its own laws. Mexican law requires foreign nationals be in their country legally and that their presence be beneficial. That's how it used to be in America. It is a criminal offense there to aid and abet illegal immigration. Unless, of course, you're from the government and you're helping to aid and abet their illegal immigration into the United States. But Pueblos Sin Fronteras, coordinator of the caravan, solicits donations via PayPal but is not listed as a nonprofit and does not show up on the California Secretary of State business search. Its website domain registrar is hidden behind a proxy. To find out more, we can turn to supportive mainstream puff pieces or alternatively to sites alleging indirect Soros ties. The other and more significant player on the U.S. side of the border is the state of California, with its sanctuary policies and its opposition to federal enforcement efforts. What happens if leftist federal judges on the Ninth Circuit issue an injunction forbidding enforcement? What are the options? What options will there be if the state decides to intervene with more than rhetoric? Chances are this will play out for the cameras and be exploited to feed a meme that further smears those opposed to open borders as violent xenophobes and racists. Of course, that's their tactic. There are those who wouldn't mind at all if it results in a bit for the camera violence. Global humanitarian crisis will not be solved by subverting U.S. law and culturally terraforming the republic. But the quote-unquote organizers have brought things to the point where an honest, humane desire to solve the plight of such people is used against those who would help. Meaning there are those who are cynically exploiting refugee pawns and domestic useful idiots to advance a political agenda. The government of Mexico knows this. And there needs to be serious repercussions taken against the ungrateful in bed with the cartels officials if they force this on us. They need us a lot more than we need them. More importantly, this country needs to start acting like one. But the difference between open border subversives and political opportunists or cheap labor sellouts versus the Americans who want their country back are irreconcilable. A rational U.S. policy for admitting foreign nationals could not be simpler. Look at the preamble to the Constitution. If government policy or anything fails to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, then government is violating the supreme law of the land. Are they not? This is an excellent statement. This is an excellent, excellent statement right there by David Codrea from Oath Keepers. So, if oath-breaking representatives weren't ignoring and subverting the Second Amendment every chance they get, we'd have the border problem pretty much solved peaceably via a well-regulated militia, standing guard to discourage and deter things getting out of hand. So, anyway, as Christians, we want to help the foreigner. We're told the Bible says, and this is what the left is using to infiltrate the church with, and even leftists within the church that are saying, oh, the Bible says, Don't mistreat the stranger. Don't mistreat the foreigner. You have to take him in. Treat him as your own. But I did a study on this, thankfully, with some listeners who had some great insight in their study of Hebrew. And studying the words that are used, the word ger, it means stranger, foreigner. But see, and I covered this in episode 1708, and I've got some more reference material here that I can refer you to. I'll put that in the highlights and resources posting, because people are starting to actually write about this a little bit more, about what ger, or the translation foreigner or stranger, really means. And there were two different types of strangers, foreigners. Some were just passing through. They were for business transactions and trade, things like this. And then there were those who moved there to pretty much be more of a permanent fixture. Those were the ger. They were expected to follow the laws. But see, those were also people who came to Israel and said, I choose to be an Israelite. I am choosing to adopt your culture. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Okay? Just like Ruth. So, these are not people that they were supposed to coddle, who come to break Israel's laws, to try to subvert the Israeli culture, to try to subvert Israeli law. They came there to say, I'm going to be one of you, and I want to assimilate. I've already covered this, I've reiterated this, but this is really in the news cycle right now, and we need to be reminded of this. And of course, there's a lot of listeners here that have not been listening to Radio Free Redoubt for years. But I went into it in depth in episode 1708. So I want to invite you to go back and listen to that if you want to. Take the time to do that. But if not, there's a little overview for you to help you with understanding this or countering this argument when they just say blow the borders wide open, because the Bible says we're not supposed to, you know, we're supposed to take care of the foreigners and let them in. But these are different. These are ger. These are people who said, somebody comes in and says, I want to be an American. And you say, yeah, but you're Irish, so I won't hire you. Or you're Irish, you don't belong in this community. Get out of my restaurant, right? Because you're Irish. Well, that kind of stuff happened. And that's unchristian, right? They come there, they're proud to be Americans. They want to assimilate. They want to fly the American flag. And folks from other countries want to learn the English language, and they want to assimilate and become Americans. They don't want to come here and burn the American flag and overthrow it and raise a Mexican flag and say, Reconquista, we're going to conquest, we're taking it back over. This is ours. That is not someone who needs to be coddled. So how do we know who they are? Well, there should be a vetting process, and there should be a process for bringing these people in. Now, Europe has a very serious immigration problem right now, and they are getting this full firsthand. There is a woman who has stood up against the Islamification and the Islam invasion of her country in Germany, and she's taken a ton of heat for it. Her name is Heidi Mund. And there's a video that we'll link, but she is going to be in the Spokane Valley in the American Redoubt at Truth in Love Christian Fellowship in the Spokane Valley this coming Sunday at 4 p.m. She has stood boldly for Christ and spoken against the Islam invasion of her country, and she's grieved to see what has happened in her country. And she's here to warn folks in America not to let happen here what has happened to her homeland. And it'll really help you put things into perspective about this. Open arms, embrace the foreigner, and treat him as your own, and so on and so forth. That is for people who want to come here, not as invaders. And they've stated openly that this is an invasion. And we're not taking them seriously. That guidance is and directives. Those directives are given toward those people who are different than us, maybe don't speak the same language as us yet, but they are on the way to the path to becoming American citizens. They're proud to be Americans. They want to leave their culture and their language behind, and they want to adopt Americanism. Well, those people, you are to protect them and not treat them differently and mistreat them. So that was what is meant by GER. And there's another type too, but they're not there, you know, as residents per se. They are there from other countries that are to be left unmolested and even protected, who are not invaders, but they are here because they are conducting trade, and they're here temporarily, or even tourists, whoever it is. Don't take advantage of them. Don't mistreat them just because they're different. It's pretty fair, common sense, golden rule type of training and teaching, right? But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about people who are planning on moving here permanently. That is an invasion. And they are not to be handled with kid's gloves. All right. This segment was brought to you by Works Holsters. Works LLC. They make custom-made holsters right here in the American Redoubt with a lifetime guarantee on all their products. So check them out today. If you're in the market for a holster inside the waistband or outside the waistband, they will set you up. Works.com. That's W-E-R-K-Z.com. And we'll be right back. This is the voice of the American Redoubt.
I've often heard atheists and so-called progressives argue that the founders weren't Christians and that this was never a Christian nation. They like to say that men like Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson were deists. Well, so what if they were deists? Being a deist simply means that God doesn't interfere with the affairs of men. But after seeing God's hand in the making of their newly won nation, they gave God full credit. In a letter to William Strahan in 1784, Benjamin Franklin said this, "My dear friend, do not imagine that I am vain enough to ascribe our success," he was speaking about the Revolution, "to any superiority on their part. If it had not been for the justice of our cause and the consequent interposition of Providence in which we had faith, we must have been ruined. If I had ever before been an atheist, I should now have been convinced of the being and government of a deity." And Thomas Jefferson wrote this, "Of all the systems of morality, ancient or modern, which have come under my observation, none appears to me so pure as that of Jesus. I am a real Christian, that is to say, a disciple of the doctrines of Jesus." Don't believe the lies of the revisionist historians. They'll deceive you every time if you don't know the truth. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
This is Jordan Page, and you're listening to the voice of the American Redoubt.
This is Radio Free Redoubt, broadcasting live right now across the Liberty Broadcasting, the American Christian Network affiliates in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. And then, of course, our live listening audience, our streaming audience. Thank you guys all for tuning in. This segment is brought to you by Riverfront Suites, our great sponsors out of St. Mary's, Idaho. Beautiful little place right there on the beautiful St. Joe River. We've enjoyed some really nice weather this week. We got some kind of crummy weather, this weekend and for the next week. But, boy, did we get a taste of that yesterday and the days before, the upper 70s, lower 80s. Absolutely incredible. So this is the time to start getting out and exploring around the American Redoubt. St. Mary's is a beautiful little town, St. Joe River flowing right through it. So riverfrontsuites.com. Oh, I love the American Redoubt. Okay. Oh, let's see. Where were we? Okay. I mentioned something last week, and I wanted to bring it back to your attention. And this is pretty important stuff. I mentioned Truth and Love Ministries in the first segment. Talked about it last week. Specifically, this not so new. We've talked about it, but it's really building momentum. And that's this interfaith dialogue. And so I want to bring this to your attention one more time. This is something that I really think needs to be in your toolbox, your home group, your home church, your group of friends and patriots. This should be in your library. I'm talking about the dangers of this interfaith dialogue. In light of the growing deception of interfaith dialogue between Christians and Muslims, this DVD is probably one of the most important to date, and it's critical to share it with those that you know, especially Christians. So in this, Christian pastor and former Muslim Shahram Haidian from Truth and Love Ministries reveals how he fled Iran with his family just before the Islamic Revolution. He shares his testimony of converting to Christianity from Islam. He exposes the growing deception of the interfaith dialogue. He reveals the unholy connection between interfaith groups and the Muslim Brotherhood. He explains how interfaith ecumenical dialogue is compromising the gospel and our national security. He's also going to work to prove that there is no common word or common God between Christianity and Islam. And this is where we run into what I was talking about. It's kind of setting this up in the first segment with the discussion of the foreigner and GER, taking the foreigner, GER, G-E-R, in and just loving them, and because it's the Christian thing to do, and not having the discernment, because we lack discernment in the church today, to discern between a foreigner who's moving to your land to become and assimilate into your culture and your people and your language and even your God, your religion, and have the intentions of overthrowing your system. And Islam is one of the biggest threats, if not the biggest threat, that we face right now, besides, of course, communism, which is on the streets everywhere. Islam is not on the streets of America everywhere, and it's not in all of our public schools at this time yet. But communism is the atheistic godlessness that is becoming increasingly hostile toward Christianity. Meanwhile, they've infiltrated the churches, with this interfaith dialogue. That's Christians and Jews just getting along, and you know what? Let's bring in the Muslims too, and let's talk about how we all worship the same God, and we can find our common ground between all of us. Well, even the common ground is a lie, right? Because anything that denies Christ as the Son of God, who came and died for our sins and rose again, is a lie. Anything that dethrones Christ is a lie. It's a lie. And this interfaith dialogue is working to really, it's set up to bring in Islam. So he talks about this. He talks about how interfaith ecumenical dialogue is compromising the gospel and our national security. And he proves that there is no common word or common God between Christianity and Islam. He contrasts the true Jesus of the Bible with the false Jesus of Islam, answers why Christians should not be celebrating Ramadan, blows the lid off the lie that Islam is an Abrahamic faith, and discusses ways to equip the next generation to boldly defend their Christian faith. And, of course, to arm Christians to biblically share the gospel of Jesus Christ with Muslims. And I've talked about this before with him. We've interviewed him before, and we've brought this up. And this is something really important that's right under our noses. So you need to be assessing, is your pastor buying into this? Is he saying we can find some common ground with these guys and starting to work with this interfaith dialogue? Because just like the human rights may have started off with good intentions, which is, I would debate that. But human rights, for example. Human rights started off with good, true intentions, but then it got hijacked, and it's turned into a militant platform for advancing Islam and the Islamic invasion and sexual deviancy, but all under the name and the umbrella of human rights. And the arguments that they use to even deceive the Christians is unsettling. I want to point you to a couple of quotes here that might help guide you in this. One is from the book The Law. by Frederick Bastiat. I cannot recommend this little book. It's a little book. Mine was given to me by Congresswoman Helen Chenoweth, signed by her, the late Helen Chenoweth. Amazing woman. But she gave me this book that I had not heard of before. This is like, I don't know, 20 years ago. And it's by Frederick Bastiat, titled The Law. So here's a quote that I was reminded of this week. When misguided public opinion honors what is despicable and despises what is honorable, applauds falsehoods and smothers truth under indifference or insult, a nation turns its back on progress and can be restored only by the terrible lessons of catastrophe. Isn't it interesting that those who try to warn against that catastrophe are chastised by our culture, who's as especially more intense as they depart further from truth? But here's another one from Isaiah 5:20. Woe to them who call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We need to stand guard against, we need to know the word of God, and we need to use discernment. So when somebody is calling something evil good, or they're calling something good evil, that's your litmus test right there, whether or not you should be listening and whether or not you should be on board with something that the world is upholding as so-called truth. Use discernment, use wisdom, pray for courage to stand, and humility. All right, join us tomorrow night, 8 p.m. at RadioFreeRedoubt.com for our weekly podcast. You guys just have a blessed rest of the weekend and the next week. And thank you for your support. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name, too.